This morning scripture is found in Romans 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, that the just shall live by faith.
Thank you, Micah.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Am I on? Okay, I'm on. Well, I'm nervous, as I share with the brother right here, is when someone asks me to speak, I always say yes, because in the past, I used to say no. So I made a deal with God. If they ask me to speak, then I'm going to say yes. And I would say the top three fears of mine would be public speaking. So if you have that problem, you know, brace it and face it with courage. Amen. I wanted to take some time, like my brother said. When I was in my 20s, I gave my life to God. And I've always wanted to share this with this person, but I never had a chance to share this with this person. She's actually here. Amelia Buenrostro, she was actually a big instrument into why our whole family came into the Adventist Church. She invited my mom to a Revelation seminar, and from there, it's history. Most of us became Adventists, and now I'm here today. So I want to thank you, Amelia, for being faithful and for inviting my mom to come to Revelation Seminar. So I want to thank you. God used you in a mighty way to help our family out. Before I begin, I want to just start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here today to learn and to trust more in you, Lord. So today we just simply ask that you would speak to us individually, that my words will not be my own, but they will be your words, Lord, that come out of my mouth today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So today's title, just so you know, is my first PowerPoint. So I'm really excited. I usually don't use PowerPoints, but today I have a PowerPoint ready. So I'm praying that it will be no glitches in this sermon today. So the title today is, Are You Near or Farsighted? I am nearsighted. If I take out my glasses, I can't really see anything. I can just see blurry faces. So if I put my glasses on, now I can see far. How many of you guys are nearsighted? Can only see near but not too far, okay? How many of us are farsighted? All right, about half and half. Now we're going to put it to the test, all right? So what do you see? What is it? An apple. Okay, once someone said an apple. What else? Pomegranate? Avocado? Okay. So olive? So we got some really nearsighted people, right? So this is an avocado seed. But if you didn't have a good eyesight, if you didn't have a farsighted sight, then you would be able to know that it's an avocado seed. For those of you that are nearsighted, we're said, man, this is a grape or a raisin or a pomegranate, you know, just different things, right? But when we see with nearsightedness, we just see a seed, right? Can someone go a little bit deeper? What else do you see besides an avocado seed? Apple seed? No, it's an avocado seed. I heard a tree. Who said that? You said a tree? Okay. A future tree. All right. So you're already going beyond, right? You're not just seeing what's there on the surface. If you were to ask God what he sees, he would tell you this. This is what God sees. He sees a tree. He sees not only the tree, but he sees the fruit of the tree. And if you want to go even further, you'll see guacamole. You know? How many of us like guacamole? I love guacamole. So from this, God wants us to be farsighted and not only see the seed, but to see the tree and maybe even some guacamole and some chips and, you know, something even nicer than that, right? So today the question is, are we nearsighted or farsighted when we read God's word? How do you see? Do you see just words? Or do you actually see the promises of the Bible being fulfilled in your life and my life. How do you read the Bible? How do you see? Are you farsighted or nearsighted? Like Micah read our verse today, and we also want to include 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says what? We walk by and not by sight. So that's going to be our message today. How do we walk by faith and not by sight? Right? When we walk, we take steps, right? In order for us to walk, we got to take steps to get there. But when we walk, we also have to see where we're going. So God is asking us, no, don't do that. I want you to walk by faith and not by what you see. And I can tell you it's not as easy when we apply it to the spiritual life, because we see a lot of obstacles in our lives. So God wants to teach us today, how do we walk by faith and not by sight? So what is faith? Can someone read that for me? Nice and loud. What is faith? So faith is complete trust and confidence in someone or something. So God is asking us to have faith in His Word, to have complete trust and complete confidence that what God says, He will do in our lives. And sometimes that's not easy, right? God, we read a promise and we don't really believe it. But today I pray that as we go to the story in the Bible, that we will be able to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. So we're going to go to the story of Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to be learning the ABCs of faith. So go with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, the ABCs of faith. God's going to teach us how to walk by faith and not by sight. So we're going to read the first verse. The very first verse is, I would say, the A of the ABCs of faith. So this is Elijah's first test that God gave him. I'm going to read verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord thy God liveth, behold, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So here we have Elijah giving a message to this king that there's going to be a drought. Now, did this take faith to do? What do you think? Right? Because what would happen if the king didn't like his message? Could Elijah be killed? They would kill him, right? So Elijah had to go by faith and believing that what God told him to do, he had to do. So he went by faith to the king and told him this message that was not popular, this message that was not something that he wanted to hear. There's going to be a drought. So Elijah's first test was to be obedient, to obey God's word, and to go and give a message to this king. Perhaps God is wanting you to give a message to someone that may not be popular, that may not be easy to do, and sometimes we hold back from that message. That message that can be salvation to them. That message that can bring hope. That message that can bring a new life, a different life, a change of life. So my question this morning, maybe God is asking you, give that message. Give that message. I don't know who you are in this building, but maybe God is asking you to give that message. So I want to encourage you, just like Elijah, step out in faith and give the message. Amen? All right, so verse 2. As Elijah gave the message, what do I do now? I gave the king a message, and what do I do now? He waited for something. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, I want us to remember, Elijah always waits for the Lord to speak for him before he moves. So he waited for him to speak, to give him the next assignment. So now we're going to go to the B of the ABCs of faith. We're going to go to verse 3. Says, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. So, think about this. God is asking Elijah to go to a brook. There's going to be a drought. He asked him to go to a brook that is beside, by the Jordan. Which one will dry up first? The brook or the river Jordan? Which one will dry up first? The brook, right? So why would God ask him to go to the brook? I mean, Elijah is a rational being. He thinks he's not a robot, so he's thinking like, God, are you sure? Like, the brook? And also God tells them, not only do I want you to go to a brook, but I'm going to have you be fed by ravens. At this point, I can imagine Elijah probably laughing like Sarah laughed, right? He was laughing like, well, I don't know, God, like this is not possible. So this is the face he gave him. You know, I don't know, God, I don't know. Are you serious? Like, a brook, there's a drought, ravens are going to feed me? Like, I don't know how this is going to happen. So what is Elijah tempted to do? He's tempted to look at the seed and not the avocado itself. He's tempted to look at what he sees before him, his obstacles. But God is asking him, Elijah, you got to see beyond that. You got to see by faith and see my promises being fulfilled. God promised him that the ravens would feed him. So what did Elijah do? Do you think he obeyed? What did Elijah do? By faith, he walked and he went as God commanded him to do. So when Elijah went to the brook, he found the brook, he was there. And do you think God completed his promise? Amen. Elijah was there enjoying. He was feasting. He was bathing in God's promises. So God was able to be faithful. How many of us have been obedient to God and been able to experience God's promises coming to our lives? Can anybody raise up your hand? Amen. How does it feel when you're obedient and you go and you do what God says and all of a sudden you see God's promises come true in your life? It feels amazing. It's like one of the best feelings ever to have. So Elijah is there enjoying God's promises. He's being obedient. So he went and he did according to the word of the Lord. And the verse 6 tells us, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and the flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So he's enjoying it. Sometimes we can enjoy it too much, amen? We can get comfortable, and sometimes God's promises even make us look or feel a little bit younger, amen? You know, we feel like, oh man, I feel like 10 years younger. You know, I'm enjoying God's promises, his blessings, and we get comfy. And sometimes this is not a good thing. So the next verse 7 says that the brook dried up. Wow. The brook dried up. How many of you experienced you're enjoying God, his blessings, and all of a sudden, boom, something happens where your brook dries up? And you ask the question, why? Why, God? Why is this happening? Why did the brook dry up? I thought you were with me, and you began to go through this discussion with God. Why? Why did this happen? We're actually going to come back to this later, and we're going to answer the question, why? But I want us to look at these verses right here. Sometimes God, in the midst of the why, he wants us to be patient. Psalms 24:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your hearts. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So God is wanting us to learn what it means to wait on him. When your brook is drying up, God wants you to learn how to wait on him and how not to go ahead of him and go forward. Because as his brook was drying up, do you think Elijah saw it? He probably saw it getting smaller and smaller. And he kept been questioning God, like, the brook is drying up. Like, I need to move. I need to go. But we know that Elijah waited patiently on the Lord. Another verse that we see in the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the mighty rock, and established my feet. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise unto God. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Maybe your brook is drying up today, and God's saying to you today, wait. Don't go ahead of him. Wait on the Lord, because he is the best provider. He wants you to learn something. He wants you to learn patience. He wants you to know what it means to trust in him with everything, regardless of what's going on in your life. And just like we know our God is faithful, the next verse, what happens? And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. You see what happens when we wait on God? We will hear his voice. God will come to us right on time, and we will be able to hear that voice and give us the next step, what to do next. So what was Elijah's his next mission? God asked him to go to a place, and we're going to read verse 9. Verse 9 says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zion, and there Behold, I commanded a widow there to sustain you. So God told him to go on this super long journey in a drought. I don't know how long this was. I think it was like maybe 80 miles or something, or maybe even more. I don't know. But it was a very long trip to go walking in the desert in a drought. God, are you serious? Go to this place, and you're saying that a widow there is going to sustain me? Now, what does a widow need to sustain someone? Food and water, right? But there's a drought, and the widows don't have anything. So how is this possible, God? So once again, Elijah, are you sure about that? Sometimes we give God that face, right? When he asks us to do something, we're like, huh? Are you sure, God? But remember, we must look at the avocado and not the seed. God is asking Elijah right here, Elijah, I don't only want you to look at the seed. I don't only want you to look at the avocado, but I want you to look at the guacamole. I want you to look at beyond the avocado. I want you to look beyond that and make something with this seed that I want you to do. So Elijah, we see in verse 10, he obeys and he walks by faith. And he goes and does what God asked him to do. And as Elijah obeys, we see the story, the next verse. He meets this widow, verse 10. And this widow is there, she's picking up sticks. And he calls unto her and says, give me a little vessel of water that I can drink, verse 10, right? So Elijah asks her for what? For water. Now this very, very long journey that he was on, do you think he was hungry? Raise up your hand if you think he was hungry. He was probably super hungry. So my question is, why did Elijah only ask for water? So as his widow obeyed, and as she was going to get him the water, verse 11, Elijah said this, and as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me some bread too. So I can imagine as this widow is going to turn around and get Elijah water, Elijah's stomach starts to grumble. And remind him, hey, you're hungry. God said he's going to provide for you as well. So he got a little more faith, and he said, okay, bring me some food too. Sometimes we can half obey or half believe God. You know, we can just do halfway. And Elijah was, in my mind, in my, you know, sanctified imagination, I can see him just like maybe dying a little bit that this woman can provide some food for him. But he musters up the faith to finally ask her for the food as well. In verse 12. What did she say? And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have it. She says, I don't have it. Verse 12, I'm going to paraphrase. She pretty much says, all I have is this little bit of, you know, meal, cornmeal and this thing, and we're going to make this cake, and we're going to eat it, my son and I, and we're going to die. Our very last meal. So now Elijah, once again, what is he tempted to look at? At the avocado seed, right? He's tempted to doubt God's word because God said he's going to provide, she was going to provide for him food and water. But she says she can't because this is her last meal. They're going to eat it and die. Can you guys kind of feel how Elijah is feeling right now? Like, God, like, how can I take this last meal from this woman? Like, how can I do this to her? And this woman is probably thinking like, yeah, how can you take this food from me, you know? She's like, just let me eat this last meal and die. And verse 13, what does Elijah do? Okay, I got ahead of myself. So verse 13, Elijah says to her, fear not, go and do what you have said. So I can imagine this widow is probably saying like, thank you so much. You're a man of God for giving me this last meal. Thank you so much. But Elijah doesn't stop there. He continues to go and he says, but pretty much, make me first a cake that I can eat and then you and your son can eat. So now Elijah is asking this widow something that he's asking this widow to do something very, very hard to do. And that is to put a stranger before her child. How many of you, knowing it was your last meal, moms, would do this to a stranger? Would put a stranger before your son that is very hungry? How many of you would do that? Not many, right? So Elijah is asking this woman to do something very, very hard to do. Now I want you to see what's really going on here. Elijah was able to see God's promises being fulfilled in his life in a personal way. He was experiencing God's promises for himself by firsthand. And as he's developing this experience with God and his walk with God, this walk of faith, now he is transferring that walk of faith to this widow woman. Now he's asking this widow woman to put God first, to trust in God. But if you notice the next verse, just like God always gave Elijah a hard thing to do, it always follows with a promise. What was his promise for this widow? Elijah said, pretty much he told her in verse 14, paraphrasing, that God will supply all of her needs if she does this. Now this widow, the ball is in her court. Now she has to trust in the Lord. Now she has to be able to decide for herself, am I going to trust in God? Am I going to put him first in my life? Doesn't matter how things look. There's a drought, the last meal. How is this even possible? So what do you think the widow does? What does the widow do? She walks by faith and she obeys. She believes Elijah. She believes the message that he's sharing. And verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and he and her household did eat for many days. You see, my brothers and sisters, when we're tempted to say, God, why did this happen to me? Sometimes it's not really about us. Maybe it's about someone else. Maybe there's someone out there that God has for you to meet, to encourage them to walk by faith and not by sight. What would have happened if Elijah would have just stayed in that place and like been in his own feelings and just stayed there and not gone anywhere? This widow would have never been reached. This woman would have never had the opportunity to trust in God, just like Elijah had the opportunity to trust in God. Maybe there's someone out there in your life that God wants you to go and reach, to teach them how to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Maybe that person lives in your household. Maybe that person, maybe it's an extra neighbor. God wants you to go out there and reach those people. I remember canvassing one day in San Jose. I learned this lesson, how to walk by faith and not by sight. I was canvassing in San Jose. It was hot. You know, how many of you have ever been canvassing before? Okay. It's not easy. You got to go to people's doors, knock on their door, and you have to, like, interrupt them. You have to, like, you know, get in their space. And I went to this particular house. They were having a party, and I can see it through the window. They were just having a good time, and I was knocking, and they looked back, and they would ignore me. So I got tired, and I just moved on to the next door. As I moved on to the next door, I felt this tap me in the back. So I was like, okay. So I looked back, and there was nobody there. I was like, what is going on here? And somehow I made the connection, okay, God, that was you telling me, go back to the house. So by faith, while I was walking by faith and not by sight, I went back to the house, and I knocked on the door again. I'm thinking, like, this is useless. Like, they didn't open the door to me the first time. Why would they open the door, you know, to me again? So I knocked, no answer. I knocked again, no answer. I knocked again, and they finally got tired, and they opened the door, and they said, I am not interested. Go away. And slam. It's like, oh, man, what do I do? Kept knocking. I knocked again, and I kept knocking. And then after that, a young lady opened the door, and she came out with her head down. And she said, you know, when you were knocking on the door, I knew it was for me. I knew it was for me that this was for. I'm the only Christian in this house, and I'm struggling. It was a college house where, you know, many people live together, and they go to school together, and they do everything under the sun. But she was struggling because she knew that she was in the wrong place. And she said, I knew it was for me that you came for. But I was resisting God. But as you kept knocking, I came out. And then I was able to share with her, you know, an angel was the one that tapped me and told me to come back because he wanted me to reach somebody here. So I know God is wanting to speak to you right now. And long story short, we prayed. She bought some materials. And I know that God has her in a better place now because she was able to answer, you know, to the call, to the Holy Spirit. You know, and my brothers and sisters, that's the kind of life that we're going to be able to live when we walk by faith and not by sight. our life will not be boring. Our life will be full of crazy experiences. Our life will be full of different, you know, miraculous stories that we can share with people. I mean, I can share story after story, but I just want to encourage you today that God wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. Whenever life throws at you lemons, people say make lemonade, right? But I want to give you a new one. When life throws at you lemons, make guacamole. You know, make guacamole, because you have the lemons, the sour experience, but then you also have God's word, which is the seed of the avocado, and with those two together, you can make some really good guacamole. Amen. So that's what I want to share with you, my friends and family, is very simple: walk by faith and not by sight. Regardless of what is going on in your life, whatever you see in front of you, look beyond that. Look beyond the problems. Look beyond, you know, whatever is going on, and see beyond that, and you will have a blessed experience. So it's short, but I want to give you an object lesson so you can remember and take it with you. And so every time you look at avocado, always know that's God's promise fulfilled in your life. Every time you eat guacamole, that's God's promise being fulfilled in your life. Every time you drive down the freeway, you see all those orange trees, those are all fulfillments of God's promise, because it all started with a seed. And as a result, the promise was fulfilled in those orange trees. Every time you see anything, any plant, know that that's God's promise being fulfilled, but it can also be fulfilled in your life personally. Amen.